Y'all ready for this?
Ready.
Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning into another episode of the A Convo with Mo podcast. It's your girl Mo Diggs, and I am here with the gang. Come on, you guys. thank you guys so much for tuning in once again. Make sure you guys follow us at A Convo with Mo on IG. I'm here with the gang, Lindsay. Say what's up.
What's poppin', beautiful people? It's your girl, Lindsay. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Crown by Grace. No E in the crown.
All right, Lawrence Green.
Hello, my beautiful kings and queens.
Oh, God. The dramatics.
No, literally. Like, this guy lives for it. So, today we're going to talk about a lot of juicy things. You guys know the vibe here at A Convo with Mo is always lit. Let's see. Okay, so first things first, let's talk about the last podcast, which was really lit. We got a lot of feedback from you guys. Love it. I did want to touch on something that we got from the DMs.
Okay.
Which was colorism. It was like a lot of people were like really feeling like, you know, the reason why they felt like the ugly friend. I don't know. If you guys didn't listen to the Ugly Friend podcast, way after this, go listen to that. Finish listening to this and then go listen to that. But a lot of the people were saying how they felt like, you know, the reason why they felt like the ugly friend was they were darker. They were the darker skin friend. And we're just here to tell you that you are beautiful in your chocolate skin, okay?
Yes, melanin.
Melanin ting. Next, we're going to talk about Halloween, okay? Halloween was yesterday. And I felt like this year, Halloween was kind of dry.
No, you're right. Yeah? Because I was thinking the same thing. It was a bit dry.
Like, the neighborhoods, it wasn't nobody trick-or-treating.
But you know what? It was also raining yesterday.
Knocked on my door last night.
It was to be...
You said it was raining?
Yeah, it was also raining. Like, the weather wasn't that great. And so I feel like people... started earlier because it was like 5 p.m. and I saw kids walking. I was like,
oh, really?
No, y'all too early. Go back. Let's try this later.
You know, during Halloween when it was like people would come to my door, my mom would take our candy and give it to the kids. Wow. She would never buy candy. She'd be like, Mumpambra, bring your candy. Your friends are at the door. Come put some candy here. I would be like, what? No. So when we would get home, we would make sure we hid all of our good candy and then gave her, like, the nasty joints.
Yeah,
like
that you didn't want.
Yeah.
Like the Milky Way.
Milky Way, hold on. That's some good candy.
No, it's not. Give it away.
Am I bugging? I like Milky Way.
Nah, that's not it.
Okay. All right, well, I guess we're not doing... Well, how do you guys feel about Halloween? What was it like being... young African and or saved, because we know you're not African, Lawrence. We know, don't tell me.
You are honorary
African.
For me, you know, I was African and saved. Well, yeah, I was African and saved. Mm-hmm. But my parents, you know, they were really or are really Americanized, right? So I think a lot of things that the people weren't doing in my church, like their families weren't doing, my family was doing. So my mom let us participate in Halloween, but her only thing was just that we couldn't dress up as anything crazy. Like, we always had to be like angels, or you could be like a cow or something. Like, you can't be nothing wild.
No witches, no wizards, no gremlins, nothing scary. Yeah.
But I think for her, it was kind of like her way of letting us be quote unquote a light in darkness type of thing.
Okay.
And we just wanted the candy. Like,
yeah, that's all.
We wanted to participate in school with the Halloween party. Yeah. You know, just be with the friends and stuff. But I think growing up, and it's so funny because recently my mom was like, Halloween is so bad. We are not doing it. I'm not giving out candy. I was like, sis. I was like, I feel you. Like, I understand. And I think even just growing up and just like learning more about Halloween and like where it comes from, you know, the connotations and stuff, just from a spiritual perspective, you're like, okay, I'm not gonna participate. But just the hype that she was creating behind, we are not doing it.
Yeah,
I was like, sis, you've been doing it for like
16 years.
Like,
we know about you, sis,
but
you're
caught. Yeah, so I think growing up I did participate in it, but I think maybe after like middle school, I wasn't Halloween crazy. Like, okay. I'd be home and I'd pass out candy.
Yeah,
but
that wasn't like a thing.
It wasn't my thing.
What about you, Lawrence?
You know it ain't exist in the greenhouse. We know they don't play that. If it ain't sanctified and holy, we ain't dealing with it. No, but like, so I think there's only one time where like they ever let me like dress up, and I wore like one of my dad's old military uniforms.
Not his old military, not a hand-me-down uniform.
No, but that's what they let me do.
A uniform is a uniform though.
I'm dead.
And but other than that, they never allowed us to go out. Yeah. There were certain years where my church would host things. Like when we used to live in the 757, they used to have like hallelujah nights and stuff.
Hallelujah night.
Huh?
That's
like, you know, Hampton, Norfolk, all that down there. So
near the water.
They would let us. They had like a little hallelujah night or some celebration that they would have, so we would go to church. But other than that, like even last night, my dad, like the doorbell was ringing, and we're doing some stuff with our floors, and he just gave him some random candy bar that he found in the refrigerator
because
he felt bad because I guess the child was like special needs or something.
Oh, okay.
So it was just like, oh dang, like let me just go find something real quick to give. But other than that, we would like, they always nip Halloween, Santa, we ain't believing that. Like they just always nipped all that stuff in the bud.
Do you guys have a sign on your door, or?
Yo, you know what?
Well, the universal sign when you see the lights off, but nowadays people don't care. They coming in like. I'm like, wait, I know you see the lights off. You can't even see. No. How'd you find my doorbell?
I'm so weak.
Now, they tried it yesterday. I had to put a sign on my door like, no candy.
Yo, there were no. There were no signs on our door, and nobody knocked. Nobody rang the door, but like my neighborhood was really dry.
No, but to be fair, Mo, you live in like the nice neighborhood.
All right.
Your kids probably not going trick or treating.
They're probably just buying the bags of candy and giving it to the kids. They're
not going trick or treating. Like, just to be fair,
I'm so weak. Okay. My childhood experience with Halloween was lit. Like my mom, she was young, so like she was like, I know what y'all doing in church, but like my kids not gonna be the weird kids in school. Like they're not gonna be sitting at that table, you know, when they're doing the parade. Like my kids gonna be wearing costumes. So we did the whole, like she would sometimes even do like pumpkins outside the door. Like she was doing the whole shebang. And so Halloween was lit. And I guess for me and my siblings, like every year we was decked out. Every year we did the Halloween parade with all the little white kids. And we had a great time. I remember my first Halloween, I think I was like Britney Spears or something.
Ooh.
Yeah,
it was a belly shirt.
I had a belly shirt.
Oh my god.
And I had a microphone and I had a mic on my head and a mic in my hand.
You said what?
A fake snake.
No, I didn't. That hadn't happened yet.
Oh, okay.
that hadn't happened yet.
Actually, we had two mics.
No, I did have two mics. And like it was just a mess. Anyway, we didn't have black pop stars to look up to.
Yeah.
Anyways, what was I say? Okay, so would you guys let your kids celebrate Halloween? This is such a controversial topic.
Yeah, it is. You know what? As for me in my house,
I know. Would you, in the future, your future kids, Lawrence? You praying for them? You got them.
Okay.
Your mama listening.
your wife.
Yo, no, that would probably be an issue though. Like,
really?
If my parents saw, like, they would let us do our things, but my mom probably would like not be for
really
us allowing her grandbabies to be celebrating Halloween.
Yeah.
Like, I just think she'd talk to us about it, or like talk to them about it, or show that John Hagee video that she showed us back in the day, the truth about Halloween. Like, just do something, like, just to, like, I don't know, to get it. But I don't know. I think it'd be up to me or my me and my wife to decide whether or not that's something that they want to do. But I definitely, I like the idea of the dressing up
the costume.
And doing costumes.
Yeah.
Because I'm a theater person. Like, I love, like, that kind of theatric. So I was like, maybe we'll do pictures, but maybe not go out. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was watching something the other day where it was just like, the guy was like, if you participate in any part, you are putting on and you are losing your destiny. And I said, destiny? Because I put on a Mickey Mouse costume. I'm forfeiting my destiny with you guys.
My anointed.
And my anointed is shattered.
You know that one? There was a 1 year where they was really going in on Heather Lindsay.
No,
like,
I was just
kids.
About to say
oh,
that.
Yeah.
Like, if you listen, if you take pictures and you posted the Saints were crucified,
you gonna get crucified either way.
Like, right. That's why I'm setting the standard now. I'm gonna tell y'all right now in the year of 2019, when you see me and my kids in the costumes, say less, okay? All right. Say less.
But to be fair, I don't know if Jesse's going for all that.
Girl,
I don't know if he's going for all that.
Well, you know what? He's just, I mean, you know what? We going to get to it.
Jesse's going to be like, if I say no, it's no.
No.
You know, I mean, but I'm persuasive.
What's that, a Jezebel spirit? It's like, nah, you know, we know, we it's a partnership, you know what I'm saying? So we gonna make a shake. All I know is my kids, as long as I just don't want, and this may be something that I'll have to deal with growing up and like battle with, but I just don't ever want my kids to feel like their faith. Obviously, you are set apart and you are different and you are holy and you are righteous. But I just feel like there's certain like if I just feel like if we don't celebrate Halloween, then we shouldn't celebrate Christmas and we shouldn't celebrate Thanksgiving. You know what I'm saying?
But are they on the same level though?
Christmas is for Jesus.
We talking about
it's Jesus' birthday.
But y'all like,
but that's you know, Jesus' but birthday. you know how there's. I mean, we wasn't even supposed to be on this topic that long.
Yeah,
this isn't the topic of this conversation. But you know how there's like, you know, it's a little bit of paganism and like Thanksgiving, like it's rooted on murder and the massacre. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just a bunch of Native American. I don't know.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? But like, I just feel like if you gonna go hard. You gotta go hard, and I'm not going hard. So like my kids, we gonna see. You know, maybe God will convict me in by that time, cause I just feel like if my kids are, you know, if they're doing a Halloween parade. They might not participate in the parade. That don't want to be a little demonic.
Hey, where are they having a Halloween parade at, bro? Where are you at?
At school. At my school.
Did you
Yeah. At my elementary school, we had a Halloween parade. We walked around the
playground.
Yeah, like exactly. The blacktop every year. Yeah.
They still do that now?
Maybe not.
They don't have recess no more.
You know, they probably progress.
School shootings and all that.
All right, but let me just add my 2 cents.
Yeah.
Well, my kids celebrate Halloween. You know what? I think that as for me and my house, we probably will not participate in it.
We will serve the Lord.
I think I'm a hat. Yeah, you know, we're going to serve the Lord, period. I don't think this one not going for it.
Right.
But,
he's going to shrug his shoulders. He's blowing me.
But yeah, I just think as for me and my house, we not participating. And I think that also, be honest, don't know too much about the where it derives from and stuff.
You don't know like, too much about Thanksgiving or Christmas either.
You know that's true too.
I know
but
it's
I think
Jesus'
that
birthday.
You know but you know like
no,
I
you
think
freaking don't. No you freaking
no, we don't. But I think that it's just the fact that like Christmas we've made it about Jesus.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like
we need to make Halloween.
Halloween ain't
about
nothing about
Jesus.
Let's get that right.
It's all about Jesus. No. It's all about Jesus, okay?
You know, so
December
25th. But I think that we shouldn't crucify people for how they choose to be a light in darkness.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I just think that as for me and my house, we're gonna sit this
we're not
one
doing
out.
It. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So next we wanna say rest in peace to John Witherspoon's
rest
pops, granddad. I don't know if you guys know. I hope you guys know. It was all over social media, but we've lost one of our comedic mavens in the black community. He was on Boondocks, to say the least. Like that's for our generation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But like Friday After Next, Boomerang, which I have never seen. Don't take my black card. Don't take Lindsay's black card. Lawrence has seen it. You know what I'm saying? That's why you're not African.
Wow.
It's like, nah. Sorry, I'm joking. and the Wayans brothers, which we've all seen. And so RIP to him on that, because you know what I mean? Like, he was a legend. And you know what? Do you guys remember last year when like there was like a fake tweet going around that he had died?
Oh my God.
Nobody remembers that? Oh my gosh! So
Twitter loved
it. It wasn't a fake tweet. But you know how on Twitter sometimes you be on Twitter?
Not really.
Dang.
Sorry.
Okay.
Just to retweet
a
combo
though.
With
I
Mo.
Yeah.
Just a hashtag combo with Mo. So make sure if you guys are listening to this, make sure you guys hashtag a combo with Mo to vibe with us on Twitter. But you know sometimes on Twitter they'll be like, oh man, I can't remember what they do, but they'll do it in a way where it looks like the person has died, but they're just saying like. They turned 57 today. You know what I mean? They'll be like, our brother, John Witherspoon, has turned 76 today. You know what I mean? But, like, the post looks like he died. And it, like, gives you a
heart
attack.
But we don't read, though?
We don't read. Like, no, but it gives you, like, anxiety before you read the whole thing.
But that's what
thing.
I'm saying. Like, they ain't finished reading.
I
because
know.
Because how does that turn into he's dead? You know what I'm saying?
It's true.
It's all in the layout.
It's all in the layout. Exactly. But that joint, what I'm saying is they killed him last year. And then this year, he actually died. And
wow.
So when I saw the thing on Instagram, I thought it was the same thing again. I'm like, oh, they're just saying it's his birthday. Mm. But then, and I was really sad. Like, that joint actually hit. I was like, oh, dang, Pops. Like, dang, that's really sad. But Yeah, he did like an interview on D.L. Hughley's podcast. It was really good. I don't know. It was just really sad for me. I don't know why it was so impactful, but he was so funny, so impactful, and he was like our granddad. Yeah. It was like almost like Dr. Phil, not Dr. Phil, Uncle Phil level, you know?
I get you.
I'm going to say Dr. Phil. Yeah, go ahead, Lauren.
It seems like this year has been crazy because I feel like we've lost a lot of black patriarchs, like Elijah Cummings on a political level, Diane Carroll, Toni Morrison, the great poet, John Singleton. Mm-hmm. So RIP to all of our patriots.
Damn, RIP.
For the black community.
Yeah, but it's birthing new ones, though, you know?
Amen. I know, that's right.
Yeah, come on, preacher.
Preacher. Are you coming down my lane? What was I going to say? Okay, so next topic, and the topic of this podcast in general, is, as you guys can tell by the title, hopefully, I don't even know what the title is going to be, but we're going to see. Mm. The Kanye album, Jesus is King.
Woo-woo!
Lawrence, lead the conversation. Oh my gosh, this guy's getting his mic set up.
What are y'all raw thoughts about the album first?
And by the way, it is his, what is it, his ninth?
Ninth studio album.
So Kanye's been, he's been putting out some things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just like, I guess some backstory, if you guys know Kanye West, he's like one of the GOATs, you know, he's on a lot of people's top five lists as far as like greatest rappers of all time. He put out a gospel album. Is it a gospel album? A Christian hip-hop album?
He classified it as a gospel album.
He classified it as a gospel album, but on Apple Music, it's hip-hop. But we just gonna say less on that.
Yeah.
And so, it's a big deal because we all know that Kanye West has been dealing with a lot of mental health issues and just kind of just like finding himself. You know, he had the project Yandi, where he was, you know, kind of, I guess, going through his phase of seeking Gandhi. Kanye was trying to basically find peace through different faiths, and so with that being said, he then found, I guess, came back to Christianity, because, you know, some long time ago he did Jesus Walks.
Yeah.
And that was my ish. Let me tell you guys, so you know, I didn't grow up in the church, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So whenever I would get in trouble, that would be like my gospel song, like my Christian song. Like I would be in the bathroom reading the Bible saying Jesus walks with me.
Wow.
I'm not even joking. Yeah, because like, so I don't know. It was definitely impactful for me. As I've grown in my faith and things like that, now this album is in front of me, and I have some mixed feelings about it. I have mixed feelings about the reactions. I have mixed feelings about just, I don't know, just all like the whole, I guess, the whole commotion behind this project. Mm-hmm. But my honest, and I guess I'm going to let you guys give your honest and raw opinions about the project, period. What do you guys think about the album in general?
I loved it.
Yeah. Same.
I loved it. And I think my favorite song was Everything We Need.
Yeah,
but
that's
then, I don't know
too.
What song.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But I don't know what song it was, and I was talking about this yesterday. I don't know what song it was that he said, tell the devil when I see him, it's on sight. I felt that in my, like, I felt that
he was
on
like,
another
I felt
level.
Yeah,
right,
I really felt him. And I just think, like, just taking into consideration, like you said, everything he's been through and stuff. And I think when you get to a point where you have a spiritual understanding of things and a spiritual grip and, like, just a different perspective, everything kind of is different, you know, and everything kind of makes sense. So when he said that line, I said, I'm with you, Kanye.
Lindsay
felt
that.
You. When we see him, it's on site.
Something that Kanye said in an interview was, there was a time where I let you know what high fashion had done for me. I was letting you know what Hennessy had done for me. Now I'm letting you know what Jesus had done for me.
Period.
Ooh, drops mic. Lawrence, what are your thoughts on the album?
I thought the album was really good. Mm-hmm. Actually, I was expecting it to be a more Sunday service kind of album.
Okay.
Just to give us that, you know, black gospel feel.
Yeah.
But it turned out to be his album. But I thought it was absolutely a good album. It was balanced. Like, the music was popping, the beats were popping, the samples was popping, the features was popping. Living Legend Fred Hammond was on the track.
They had the Living Legend.
They brought what's that group called?
Clips.
They brought Clips back. Yep. You know, I just thought it was a very well done
project
altogether. And I was watching an interview that he's gonna drop another Sunday service album.
Oh.
On December 25th.
Oh.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, that's actually kind of cool.
But you know, he always dropping some kind of date and pushing it back. So we might not get it till that goes.
That's 2020. He might actually drop it. Though.
That's something that I actually despise about Kanye.
The pushbacks.
I just feel like it's such a huge, like, I feel like, you know, and there's grace because, like, I do it all the time with podcasts. Not recently, though. Y'all been getting it all the time. Right. You know what I'm saying?
We thank God.
Anyways, I mean, we do, though. We praise him. But the thing that I dislike about that is, like, I just feel like when you're at such a major level, like, it's so disappointing to your fans and to people that are, like, literally waiting up at night.
Waiting
till midnight when they got to be at work at 6 a.m. You know what I'm saying? Got to get up for work at 6. I don't know. I just feel like I'm not a fan of that. Okay, so my thoughts on the album. I felt like the bar was really low for this project. I'm not even going to lie to you guys.
But why?
I feel like the bar was low because I'm not even... Okay, so, like, Kanye... I feel like Kanye is a genius. I actually feel like his IQ is above the average human. Like, I literally feel like his brain is like
somewhere else.
Yeah, on another level. I do. I feel like creatively, his IQ is just so high. And so I feel like this project was put together really fast. I honestly feel like he just got saved. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like he just really, like, I don't know how to explain it, guys. I feel like he just was like a month probably before the project drop was like, I'm legit in this thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I feel like because of that, some of the songs were kind of like quickly gathered together and quickly, you know what I mean? I don't know. I just feel like
everything was rushed.
I feel like everything was rushed. And I feel like there's bodies of work that are Christian hip hop that are like either better, and I know you guys are gonna say I have bias.
Let's be real.
I do, but I'm not even saying that though. Like I feel like I don't know. I just feel like it was a good album, but it wasn't like. I just feel like the bar is set low because people want to love Kanye's music because before they got saved, they loved Kanye's music. And now that they are saved and he's saved, they want to relate to it and they want to vibe to it. And it's lit. The project is dope, but I just feel like the bar was really low. I'm like, these are the bars that you guys are like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you guys know Kanye, though. Like, we're talking about 808s and Heartbreaks, Kanye West. And these are the bars that you guys are praising. Like, I don't know. I just felt like... Like, we need to, the same level of excellence that we expect from him as far as, like, and we're just talking about the project. I'm not talking about content.
Yeah.
We're talking about how it's musically composed. Yeah. I feel like the same level of, like, I mean, Lawrence, you're going to vibe to it because the GOAT, Fred Hammond, is on it, and he's talking about Jesus, so there's more grace. But, like, I feel like the same level of excellence that we, like, nobody has compared this to, like, Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, you can't. Because it's not as musically it's not as good as of an album as it is. But it's feel good. It's a vibe. It makes me want to praise God. Yeah. But musically, like, let's just... These are, like, come on. Like, Clips, they bodied Kanye on that track. You know what I mean? I don't know. I just feel like...
I think your point is valid. Because in the interview, initially, in one of the interviews, he said that he wasn't going to rap at all. Because he just did not know how to rap. He did not know how to rap about God.
Yeah.
And so
Which is a skill.
That's true. But I think also that shouldn't have... I don't think that should have stopped him from at least trying or trying to pursue or express that or continue to do his creative work through music. I think this is just maybe the first stepping stone him stepping out there.
Yeah.
And plus, I don't know any of the, you know me, I don't know any of the old Kanye songs or music
true.
To compare
he's
it to.
Yeah, so, no, he is safe.
No, it's not that I'm safe. It was just like I was in a home where we just weren't allowed to listen to that.
Yeah.
No, so but it's like, I'm saying it's like you.
Yeah,
like
it's a good thing. Yeah.
So I don't know if, so I can't really compare to what his old sounds like.
You know what another point is I just thought of? I feel like because like Kanye's is the album is so hard because it's like, and this is what I feel like this is what sets back a lot of Christian hip hop artists, right? They don't have their own sound. So they're going to try to be like the Christian Travis Scott, the Christian,
Christian
Ty Dolla $ign, the Christian Drake. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like that's what they're trying to do. And Kanye is just being the Christian himself.
Yes.
So it's
and
like
it's lit.
And it's
I
lit.
Love it.
So we gravitate to it. But I feel like the bar is low. Like the bar for this project was really low as far as creatively because I think Christian artists aren't we don't give them kudos for being able to rap without profanity. We don't give them kudos for being able to rap about things that aren't you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, nonsense. True.
We don't give them praise because, and as you can see, Kanye did it and he had a rough time. He didn't know how to do it. But we got these. We have some lit. Not like, you know what I'm saying? Not all the CHH artists are lit. Yeah. But we got some rappers that are saved that be rapping about God that we don't give them their flowers because it's hard, as you can tell, because this does not compare to 808s and Heartbreaks. This does not compare to any of Kanye's projects. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like I had a little bit of a bone to pick with that. Mm. Now, as far as, is this dope of Kanye? Of course. Like, who doesn't want our favorite artist to get saved and to start rapping about content that we can listen to?
Right.
But it was the project and promote, and we can put in our stories and we don't look E. You know what I'm saying? Okay, like, we don't look corny. It's like, yeah, this Kanye, he say what now, nigga? Like, you know what I mean? But, like, I just feel like, I don't know. I feel like as far as the project, that's my thoughts. Don't kill me, guys, because I know everybody is a Kanye stan now. Even though he's a Trump supporter, everybody loves him. Don't come and kill me, guys.
I'm going to put my stone down.
Okay? Don't come and kill me.
I loved it, though.
Yeah, I think it was cool. I know a lot of people that. I know my boyfriend is like, doesn't stop playing it. He's obsessed with it. He loves it. And I'm just like, yeah, I've only played it, the entire project, twice. Because it's also not my sound of music. Yeah, so like, Misha, I don't know. Maybe if it was, maybe.
Wait, let's see. Let's wait and see Sunday Service.
Yeah, Sunday Service.
Oh, I know that's
going to
be good.
I mean, Sunday Service probably will be.
Because churchy,
he's,
though.
But I like churchy music, so it might be a vibe. We know, Lawrence. This nigga doesn't even know.
Well, I heard the first track. Every hour I said, oh.
Yeah. Every hour was lit. Let me see. What songs do I like? I like Every Hour. I actually like Closed on Sunday, which is like the corniest. But I like it. I feel like it's like a corny vibe. I like Everything We Need, but Everything We Need, that was a secular song before it was a.
Oh really?
Yeah, it was on his leaked album Yandy. Yeah, before, which is like Yeezus Yandy. Yeah. Yeah, like it was on that, and it was secular, and it had XXXTentacion on it.
Hey.
Yeah, girl, I'm telling you, he just whipped this thing together. Y'all not hearing me? He just whipped this thing together and served it out on a silver platter and said,
you know,
"Cela." And y'all was like, "I receive it." I'm telling you.
And open arms.
I'm telling you.
Maybe he was also like, he was amped to put it out. You know what I'm saying?
And yeah.
Another audience of listeners.
And praise him because it's zeal for the Lord. And we shout out to Kanye. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to kill him.
Yeah.
I'm just
criticizing creatively.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, dang, Kanye, you couldn't give us no hits. It ain't nothing on this is going to chart. I mean,
you don't think so?
I mean, it may charge.
Everything We Need is a really good song. And
yeah,
one more.
But it wasn't. That's not the original song. But we're gonna say. No. And you know what? And let me tell you this. This is why I feel like, you know. Okay, so I saw a tweet on Twitter, right? And it was like, I love the support everyone is giving Kanye, but the same grace is so absent in some of the people in your everyday lives. Someone who is saved and you see and hear them do something questionable, your first action is to rant about how disappointed you are in them. But with Kanye, it's like.
I don't know if that's the same across the board.
I don't know how true that is because I feel like we have really dragged Kanye.
Mm-hmm, the black community,
like,
black Twitter has.
I think we really
black
like.
Still dragging.
I think Kanye does something. We be like, nope, he's canceled. Like, I
yeah,
think
but
really
that's because
him.
he's literally supporting a
yeah,
a,
I know,
like,
but
a
I'm
Klansman.
Saying, like, no, I understand, but I'm saying like, I think that Kanye has been crucified quite a lot of times, like. I think we also, like, as much as we're excited to see him do well, I think we do still rant about him.
Okay.
And I think that even in his album and just, like, the people he's worked with, like, Kanye and stuff, like, I'm not Kanye.
I was like,
Kurt Franklin and stuff, they'll tell you, like, you know, they also gotten a lot of backlash for working with him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think regardless, he still gets... But from both sides,
and that's my thing too. Is like y'all was ready to kill Kirk Franklin. You know what I'm saying? Because he did a song.
But Christian,
with Kanye.
We be too jumpy. Like,
but
we
that,
always,
that's my that's
we
my
always,
thing. Everything is. Like Kanye put out a gospel. We're jumping.
Yeah.
Kanye, Kirk Franklin does a song with Kanye. We're jumping. Kirk Franklin is the devil. He's the Antichrist. It's like, dang, pick a side.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No,
for real though, like I just feel like I don't know, like. I just feel like I really had to sit back, and maybe right now I'm ranting and I'm going off and I'm doing being questionable.
You're like, dang, what you got against Kanye?
I have nothing against Kanye. I think my riff is with the community.
Yeah,
it's just like
our reactions.
The Christian community.
Oh.
I'm not even gonna lie. I think my riff is with the Christian community. I just feel like, you know, we're bandwagons. We groupthink. You know what I'm saying? We have cancel culture within the Christian community. That's toxic as heck.
And detrimental.
I remember when a certain artist was using the N-word in his songs. A certain artist that's a Christian started using the N-word in his songs. That is a word that he identifies with.
Yeah.
They were ready to kill him. They were ready to kill him. I'm talking about Christian labels are like, nah, we can't mess with that because you're saying the N-word. And now this same Christian labels are doing full-blown articles praising Jesus is King. It's just like, dang, y'all forgot about his whole catalog? So
but
I don't know.
Did he say the N-word? I don't think he said the N-word, though. It's not to, like, side with them.
I mean, you was going somewhere. Then you kind of drifted.
No. But, like, I get what I'm saying?
I totally get you.
I said, as a Christian community, I feel like sometimes just take it in and sit.
Yeah, and meditate.
Just sit and meditate and figure out your thoughts. Like, figure out how you feel. Like, and I feel like there's a lot of, like, repentance that's needed that needs to be done as far as, like, oh, you know what? Like, I repent for judging Kanye. Mm-hmm. I repent for, I don't see no repentance.
But you, I mean, because they ain't posting it.
Like, they not.
I would like to publicly repent to God and Kanye West for judging before the time.
I just feel like if your judgment is public, your repentance needs to be just as public. Like, if you're gonna judge this youngin' hard, you need to be like, you know what, yo, I just wanna let y'all know I was tweeting before about how this so and so wasn't.
But I've changed my mind.
Like, just be okay with saying I'm wishy-washy. But don't, you know what I'm saying? Just be like, because I always say, I don't know. I'll always be like, oh, you know what, I may be wrong. Like, I don't know. Like, my opinion will probably change tomorrow. Yeah. But I feel like Christians are scared to say that they've been wrong. They're wrong. Yeah. I was wrong about this. And you know what? I listened to Kanye's album. I loved it. And I just want to apologize to you about that one time that I said you wasn't saved because you went to the club. You know what I'm saying?
I think it's sometimes within the Christian community, we have to compromise sometimes so much with people. Like, sometimes you allow somebody to come into the space and then they step out of the space. Or they're just going back and teeter-tottering back and forth into the space. And so it's just like, dang, were they really with us? Mm. What are you doing? Or it's just like with a lot of Christian hip hop artists, it's kind of like boasting their freedom to just say whatever and do whatever. But it's just like, okay, but it's kind of like there's this gray area where it's just like, dang, are you with it? Or are you not with it? Mm-hmm. And so it's just like, because we've had to deal with this, you know, I guess this distrust with some people, I think that's why it's kind of like the slow to trust or to get it. Because I think when we first heard about Kanye doing stuff, it was like the Sunday services, and they were out in the middle of nowhere. Everybody was dressed in white in these domes with the skulls. So we like, oh my God, Kanye out here starting the cult. He the Black Jim Jones. it's like when people started going and started visiting, they actually was like, oh wow, God is actually here.
Yeah,
like
the presence. Mm-hmm.
They're actually talking about Jesus, and he's come to see Jesus through the whole process to the point where it's actually like a legit church.
Yeah.
And like he was talking about in an interview about North, and she's like, how she loves going to church and she loves dancing for Jesus and how beautiful it is for her to now go to a church where she doesn't see white Jesus everywhere. She doesn't see hymnal books. She doesn't see pews. She just sees people gathered together singing under an open heaven about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's beautiful.
It is. Shout out to Kanye. Shout out to the album. Shout out to the grace that's been given. And hopefully this is like a turning point in a lot of Christians' minds as far as like, if Kanye could get saved, maybe my little cousin Ray Ray could get saved. You know what I'm saying?
No, for real.
What are your guys' thoughts on how God is showing out in Hollywood? And this is going to be our last topic. We're going to wrap it up with that.
God, do your thing. I think it's beautiful. I mean, I think it's also, and I saw a post by Selena Gomez the other day.
Yeah, she was over here proclaiming
like,
the Lord.
Like, I think it's beautiful. I think that, like, who am I to, like, talk bad. Like, I don't have nothing bad to say against that. Because I think that it's important when people of influence are also Christian. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're influencing so, like, they're reaching so many more people, at at one post, at one live, at one whatever. And so I think that it's a beautiful thing. And you can only pray that it continues to grow and that, like, it actually, like, impacts people. Like, even, like you said, the way Justin Bieber has, like, transformed totally. I think that's a beautiful thing. You know what I'm saying? And I'm sure that his walk and his journey is similar to someone else's, or has inspired someone else to like get right in whichever way it has. So I think it's beautiful, honestly.
Lawrence Green.
If they with us, they with us.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
If you're saying, if you are proclaiming Jesus Christ, then you for it. But I you know, compel other people to, okay, that's what they're doing in Hollywood, but what are you doing in your own household, in your own neighborhood, in your own life? What is God trying to do through you? Because I think a lot of times we're trying to be like, if I just get the platform, like the people in Hollywood, if I just get there, if I just get in these people's faces, then I can finally do what God is trying to call me to do. God's trying to call you right now.
So, okay, you coming down my lane.
He's trying to show out right now.
Right now, you're coming down my lane. I honestly think it's amazing. I feel like this is something that we always pray for and you know, all that pray for Kanye.
We
still need to pray, but I'm saying you know what I'm saying? God is like honoring. God is
working.
This is a testimony for a lot of people who literally went in their prayer closet and prayed for Kanye.
And you know, when black people say, I'm gonna pray for you, that's the prayer.
That's the prayer. That's the prayer right there. How dare
we just thank God.
Yes. So you know what I'm saying? She gonna say that's the prayer. That's
no,
a fact.
It's
like, I'm gonna pray for you. Literally praying right there. And there, that's it. That's the statement.
It's God heard it. He know all about it.
And so, no, yeah, I think it's really awesome. I think earlier we said Lamar Odom has like given his life to Christ. Just a lot of people in Hollywood. Justin Bieber, Selena Gomez, Kanye.
I heard
Brad Pitt. What did you guys think about Kim being? Did you guys see the video?
Yes.
Kim was like, "You on your journey, sir.
Yeah.
I'm still gonna wear my nude, my bikinis, poppy."
But you know what? She ain't do all that though. I think to be fair though, no. Like, let's be real. I think Kanye married Kim when he was before Christ. Mm. He married Kim as she was, and he also kind of like really amped her up in her sexuality and making her feel more sexy and stuff.
She
and
said
so
it.
I understand that now, like, there's been a renewal, there's been a transformation, but I think that there's also gonna have to, he's gonna have to have patience and take time with her, because she's right in a way. Like, he is on this journey, and she's kind of like, she's, and like, I was, we were talking about it yesterday, like, Kim is super supportive of Kanye, like,
she is
through it all.
She
and
is.
I think that, like,
she is.
I can definitely see Kim being won over in the end, but I think that it's just something that's gonna take time and patience, that you can't really like force, like, you can't really force it on her. And I understand where she was coming from, because he was telling her the night before an event, like, dang, really,
like, you trying to amp up, and like, not any event, the Met Gala.
Like, you gonna tell me the
this? We ain't going to the movie. Like, this is the Met. Like, dang, you wildin'.
Like, you said that. Like,
I felt her.
That Christian zeal is real.
But I also understand where he was coming from too, though. But I just think that it's a thing where y'all are kind of now like unequally yoked. It's gonna take time.
I've been in Kanye's situation in that moment, and I've been the friend that's like, oh, you know, like, you can't wear that, like, we're saved now. And I've been the friend that's like, first of all, you need to back up, because I'm trying to wear this skirt, okay?
Because who the stuff says free is
it's free indeed, okay? Oh, it's about what's on the inside, and that's gonna reflect on the outside. But anyway, Sha, that is it for this episode, guys. Thank you so much. Make sure you guys join us on Twitter, hashtag a convo with Mo. I'm going to be spilling the tea over there too, trying to keep up with you guys. And that is it. Lawrence, tell them where to find you.
At King Since Birth. On everything.
Okay. Lindsay, tell them where to find you.
Y'all can find me on Instagram and YouTube and Twitter, even though I don't really be on it like that.
She going
at
to. She
Crown
going
by
to.
Grace. There is no E in the crown. And yeah, follow me, guys.
You guys, make sure you guys follow me at Modigga with 2 E's and 3 G's on everything. And what was
was I saying? Dang. Follow us at A Convo With Mo on IG. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, make sure you guys give us 5 stars. Leave comments. Leave reviews. SoundCloud, like, retweet, share. All Spotify, like, share. Share, share, share. If you love us, share. If you love the pod, share. Share it with your sis that's trying to find a pod that she can relate to. Just, you know, get a good laugh to on the way to work. That, you know what I'm saying? Because we be geeking. But that is it for this episode. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We're wrapping it up in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Next week on A Convo With Mo.
Points relationship, those are my two biggest toxic traits. Like, literally, I hated being corrected. I hated being wrong. So, like, you ever try to, like, even when you know you lost the fight, you try to, like, celebrate your small win, be like, oh, I was right about that. Right. Even though you were wrong in the argument, I was that guy for a while. And it took, like, my girl told me, all right, I'm just not going to even go back and forth with you because I know how you are. Mm. Then you're like, dang. Then you start to sit and think, like, is this even worth it? Because, like, especially as a guy, you know there are times where even if you can win the battle, it's no point because if she's upset, y'all both lost. Yeah. So, like,
let it be sitting there thinking, like, bro, I'm right,
but if I tell her how right I am, she going to be mad. Yeah. I'm going to be mad because she's mad. It's just not going
to
be pretty.
I know I always used to say, like, I told you so after something.
Oh,
you
know.
You're
a
clown.
This guy's throwing grenades, bro.
And I realized every time I said I told you so, nothing, like,
good came out of it.
So there be times where, like, even if I have the opportunity to say it, I'm just silent, and she notices it and she respects that and, like, even receives it way better with me not saying it. I just realized it's better to keep my mouth shut and just
I think there's a good way to reward that, though. You know what I'm saying? You could say it differently. I think you did a good job. I won't try to elaborate on it. You know, like, there's a way to
remember what I said when I said it.
And I said it. That's not what you say. You would say something like, oh, okay, dang, this is how it turned out. Okay, well, I mean, hopefully next time we can, like, or you can, you know, like, just we can.
No.
You have to use. You have to use inclusive language. You know what I'm saying?
We're walking on thin ice.
No, look.
But what's the point in saying I told you so? I'm trying to be.
I'm not saying. No. Yeah. I'm not even trying to get the I told you so off. I think there are situations that warrant like. Previously, when we talked about this, this is something that I advised that you know, like, that could have happened, and it's happening, and it's like, you know, I'm not trying to rub it in your face or anything, but it's just almost like
I would be like, huh?
That is true because you
know, it is, yeah, because especially okay,
at some point you're gonna have to address it,
right. You know,
for me,
I don't think
quiet,
when the wound is fresh, you should be like,
that's not the time to do it.
Saying there's a way to reword I told you so
at
a different time.
I think the point about that is just like doing it at a different time. My aunt taught me, and she's been in a successful marriage for quite some time after this or second marriage, but that's not the point. Anyways,
she got it right.
She got it right this time. No, she got it right this time. They've been married for some time.
Right.
And she was giving me advice. She was saying, you never tell them like I told you so in the moment,
right?
Or even if you're right and you know you're right, sometimes just let them have it.
Hit the I'm sorry, you know what,
and just let it go. When they're eating their favorite food the next day, you know that you prepared. I mean, she's like Fob, so she's like that. You prepared them. They're happy and they're sitting there watching TV. That's when you go and say, "Oh, you know, remember
so watching TV."
And I'm not even joking. I tried that before and it worked, but that's not the point. Anyway, one thing that I was gonna say is I remember the first time I was like, "You know what? You're actually right." My boyfriend was like, huh? Like, he was so thrown off.
Because we don't never hear that.
Exactly.
That's not status quo. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's obviously not.
I was having a conversation with, I forgot who I was having a conversation with. And two of the hardest things or the things that we don't hear as often from, you know, women or significant others. And I'm not saying this is a blanket statement. He's not trying to generalize. The people that have experienced it is that it's so hard to say, I'm sorry. Mm. And then you're right. So that's why we get so shocked.
Yeah, he was like, huh? But I do it a lot more now because I'm like, you know what? Dang, this person's really smart.
It's affirmation, though.
Yeah, it's also, and I'm just like, you know what? When I'm right, he'll be like, all right, man, you got it. You know what I mean? He won't say you're right. Maybe like, all right, you know what?
I'll be on that.
Yeah. You know what?
But I think, right. I think
I give you that one.
Yeah. I think when you can lead by example, whether you're the guy or the girl, by doing those things. So the more you do those things, the other person is prone to do it. I have countless examples, like even in our marriage or relationship, where just because I led with something
ineffective communication.
Yeah.
I noticed that. And I didn't even have to ask Deb to do it. Like, she'll just do it, you know, yeah. or pick it up or stuff like that. Like, in our house, we just, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just wash dishes just because dishes are in the sink.
Yeah.
So I never had to be like, yeah, Deb, can you, you know what I'm saying, handle the, you know, yeah, like, yeah. I'll just come home. I'll be done. And I'd be like, I'd be relieved internally that. Because I didn't have to say it. I just
yeah.
led.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
But, and I think leading with an I'm sorry, like, let's say you got into an argument or some type of discourse with your significant other and you felt away, but you know they felt away as well. If you lead with I'm sorry and then explain, like, your actual intention, I think that opens the door for you to explain how you were feeling. Yeah. And instead of, like, because a lot of people kind of point fingers and put the onus on them and say, you did this, you did this, you did this. And I think as opposed to that, when you say, I felt this way when this happened, I think people
as
are
long
more
as you
receptive.
Don't add but after, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah, I'm sorry, but
or don't say I'm sorry that made you feel that way.
Yo, I'm sorry that made you feel that way. It's the wildest.
That's
episode.
Not a real apology.
I used to love that. That was my thing. Because I just, there was a point in my life where I literally felt like I could never be wrong. Like, I was just like, I don't know why. I think it's just like growing up with like a narcissist parent. You then like
I feel that
you build narcissist characteristics.
That makes sense.
And so like there was a point in my life where I literally was like, everybody is just so dumb. And like, I know, I'm telling you. This is before Christ though.
Because
so,
you
like,
think
yeah.
you just think
I'm like,
you know best.
I'm
like,
so wise.
You look
Socrates.
At so many things. You read what you read. It's like I never experienced
so
it, but
wise.
I just know this is the perfect move to make.
Yeah. Like if I was you nah,
that would never
me.
Happen to
yeah.
me
yeah. And then it also starts happening to you, stuff starts happening to you, you're like, oh nah. Mm-mm. So I brought that up to say, like, yeah, like I feel like understanding that you are wrong and you can be wrong is like one of the most powerful things in a relation, in life in general, but also in your relationship, especially if you feel like, I guess I kind of want to shift into like, oh dang, we kind of wrap this up because we rapping. But I kind of want to talk about, I guess, share a time where you felt like you were being toxic and how you changed that. Like something that was like a monumental moment for you, because as I'm listening to Summer Walker's lyrics and like her music, it sounds like it's breeding and encouraging toxicity.
Oh yeah.
In relationships. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, why is this? And obviously people love like negative things.
But people eat that stuff up. So I think, I think even to not so much expound on what you just said, but I think even as a music maker, as an artist, sometimes you prepare the food that people will eat.
Yeah, yeah. I guess it's all about what is it called? Pathos and no, not.
I don't know.
Never mind. Anyway, Shai.
I mean,
okay, so let's
ethos
go.
And all that.
Yeah, round
supply
table.
And demand.
A toxic trait that you had in a relationship and how you were able to overcome it.
Do situationships count?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.